Duncan!
What's up?
How are you, man?
I'm great.
You're great?
We're recording this on a Wednesday night before youth. I'm excited for youth.
You're excited. You are excited for youth, hey?
I am. We're going to do a good game tonight.
What's the game? Tell us. Like, everybody wants to know listening to This Is Life podcast. If you don't know, Duncan is the game master. He's the game master.
So,
what's the game tonight? Since you're so excited about it.
We actually stole this from another place, but this is what they're going to do. Okay.
We can learn good things from other people.
They've already done this. When they're listening to this, this is 3 weeks ago when it happened.
You're just telling us the game, man. That's all you're doing here.
Sorry, don't need an explanation.
Bro.
So we're going to get some soft tacos from Taco Bell.
All right. I'm already liking this.
And a Baja Blast.
A Baja Blast?
It's like a Mountain Dew. I don't drink soda, but
ketchup.
The kids do. So they have to eat. There's four contestants. And do you know the game? Dang it. I wish I knew the name. Should have done my research. Where you put the big thing in your mouth and hold your lips open.
Yep. And you have to say words and people have to guess what you're saying. Yeah.
So they have to wear that in their mouth.
Yeah, by playing that game.
And then they have to eat. So you say go. And it's a race for who can eat three tacos and drink the Baja Blast.
Because you really
first can't
like chew, right?
No.
It's like someone's choking.
It's probably a safety hazard. But
yeah. I mean,
they sign waivers. So
depending on how well a kid does tonight, we might not be sharing this podcast.
But here's the best part. I don't know how it's going to work yet. I'm going to think about it in the moment.
So I'm not going to think that's your life.
And I'm going to let them. We got four extra tacos, and they can throw them to the crowd.
For
their friends, yeah.
For their friends. Flying taco.
Only mess it'll make could be cleaned up with a vacuum.
Custodial team is going to be loving that.
I'll clean it up. Bare hands.
Yeah, but no, it's good.
Speaking of food that is way better than Taco Bell. We have a new restaurant coming to town.
We have a new restaurant way better than Taco Bell.
In Waterloo.
I am pumped. I've actually been a part of the construction team from a distance on this team.
Really?
Yeah. Whenever I'm in Waterloo, I just show up and the contractor lets me in. So I've seen like multiple phases of this. I've literally already picked my seat in this place. I'm hoping there's going to be a seat there. I'm not sure yet, but it's going to be where I'm going to sit. And so anyways, the place is, why don't you introduce our guest and maybe she can introduce the place.
And our guest today is Sarah Kornheim. Just go ahead and introduce yourself and talk about the restaurant with...
Yeah, well, maybe introduce yourself, your family, and then we'll get into the restaurant. But
my name is Sarah Kornheim, and I am married to Patrick Kornheim. We have three kids, Esther, Isaac, and Abe.
Three wonderful kids.
They're pretty
great.
You
guys have great kids.
Great kids.
I love being around your kids.
I really love my kids.
Yeah, it's funny, Natalie, she's raising money for missions, and she's got a list. She's I'm sending it to these families because these kids are incredible. You're on that list. So, got a deal. And so, but anyways.
So yeah, we've hit the jackpot with the kids. But we are getting ready to open a restaurant named Salt and Honey. And it's been about a year in the making. I mean, it's several years back as far as the concept and, the idea and all that. But I'm really having imposter syndrome,
gotcha.
Looking around and things are shaping up and the final touches are happening. And it's whoa.
So, yeah. And now you guys took an old building that was what was it?
An auto part.
Well, auto part.
It was actually, I don't actually know the exact date when it was built because I've heard differing things. And I think that's because there was a remodel done three different times on it. So it's kind of, but I think that it could be as old as the 1920s.
Wow.
And it was a gas station.
Okay.
The gas station got taken out and then it became an auto parts lawnmower shop.
Wow.
So all of the Waterloo people will understand that and know it as Town and Country. That's what it was called before.
Gotcha.
And all the Waterloo people know it as the place where their dads went to get their lawnmowers fixed.
Not anymore. Now the ladies are going to know it. You can get a great cup of coffee and a sandwich or a salad, right?
And men.
Sean, and men. No, I'll be there. Yeah, I know. You're right. Anyway, so.
We know you like coffee, Sean.
This is true. And so this is true. How did you pick the name? What's significant about the name? Is there anything significant about it?
So it was really interesting. I was sitting in my photography studio, probably 3 or 4 years ago. And I had just taken pictures behind the building where I was at. And I saw this building there. And it is this old building. Now, it ended up not being the building we chose. But it inspired me. I was like, man, this old, beautiful brick building sitting here. And actually, most people, when I say this, they're like, I know which building you're talking about because it's this beautiful building in the middle of Waterloo. And so I just started thinking about what we could do with it. And it's just like this, it was like this revelation. I mean, it was like a vision. And I mean, really, like the name, the concept, the colors, the flooring, I mean, it all just like literally came into my mind within like 10 boom. Seconds. You know what I mean? It was just like, boom.
This is it.
And so I texted, actually, I texted Noreen and Carla Batts, or Carla Batson, Carla Mercer. And her name is Carla Batson Mercer on Facebook. That's why gotcha. I said that. Anyway, I texted her and I texted them. I said, what would you guys think about this? And, you know, would you be interested in like investing in something like this? Because I just know that with their real estate background and all that stuff. And
they kind of know how that stuff works.
And they loved the idea and they supported it. And so that, I'm just bringing that up because that kind of went to the wayside. You know, it was just like, yeah, fun idea. You know what I mean? And so I didn't really think much of it after that, because that I actually found out how much that building was and it was too much for what I would have wanted to do it with. So I just kind of let that go. And then about a year later.
Wow. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's been a long process.
It really has. Yeah. So I, about a year later, I was out to eat at Crazy Bowls and Wraps, which is like one of my favorite places.
Love that place.
I think it's fantastic.
Never been there.
I wish there was one around here because I think it would kill it.
Yep.
But I was there and I just like impulsively put on my Facebook page, like, what restaurant could Waterloo use? And everybody pretty much said a deli or a, you know, a place that has salads and sandwiches and stuff like that, like healthier options basically. Mm-hmm. And I was like, man, we really could. And I, and then that idea of the salt and honey, you know, kind of came back to me again. And I'm like, man, I wonder if I could like lease something and make it
work.
Work, you know. So I actually started driving around Waterloo that day looking for places that could be for lease. And there wasn't much, but I drove past my building now, Town and Country, and it wasn't for sale, but it had been sitting empty for like 5 years. So I actually called my friend Tony, who is a huge real estate guy. He owns a ton of stuff in Waterloo. And I said, hey, Tony, will you buy that building and let me lease it from you? Because I didn't want to get that involved.
Wow.
And he goes, Sarah, stop being a wimp and you buy that building and you fix it up. Like, do it.
Wow.
Called and I was out. Like, well, do you know who owns it? And he's like, no, but I think so-and-so. So I ended up finding out, this is all before I told Patrick, by the way. I'm just like trying to figure out.
Oh, man.
So I called the owner of the building and I'm like, hey, I'm just curious. Like, would you be interested in selling your building to me? And he's like, actually, yeah, we're definitely looking to get rid of it. I was like, okay, thank you. You know, I'll be in touch. So that's whenever I go to Patrick, I'm like, hey.
Hey.
So I have this idea and, you know, and so he's like, you're so nuts. And I'm like, I know. And I'm like, but, you know, like, what if I, you know, really could get some investors involved and, you know, we pray about it and like just kind of let it simmer. He's like, all right. So if you can get the building for this cost and get the investors involved at this amount and this and that and this and that.
Did he say it in his cool, calm Patrick voice too?
Oh, of course.
100%.
Of course.
Mellow. No big deal.
He's like, I'll consider it. So I called the big investor in Waterloo and I said, you know, do you want to be a part of this? He's like, do you have a business plan? And I'm like, I'm sitting with Patrick. I like hold the phone aside. I'm like, Patrick, what's a business plan? I'm like, I don't know what a business plan is. He's like, we'll Google it. So I told the investor, I'm like, I'll get back to you tomorrow and I'll send it over. So that night I got on my computer and I did not sleep that night. I spent 6 hours Googling what a business plan was, coming up with the menu, coming up with the prices, coming up with what I thought the rent would be, coming up with just the cost of the entire thing, what I think the projected sales are.
Wow.
Literally down to like how much chairs are for seating, how much equipment is. I had like I got all that together and I sent it over and he was like, all right, I'll do it.
Wow.
So I was like, okay.
This is getting real.
Yeah. So as I'm praying about this, you know, it's like my prayer was always, if this isn't meant to be, shut the door. Mm-hmm. I want the door to shut because I was not going to force anything.
Sure.
And I'm actually very impulsive most of the time.
Yep.
So that's not in my nature to not force something.
Sure.
So this was like one of the few times in my life where I was like, I'm not going to force something. And so, but at this point, the building was for sale. I had the investor. So the next step was getting the city inspector to tell me that I could change use of the building to make it a restaurant instead of an auto parts store.
Right.
And get a architect in there to tell me the building wasn't about to fall down. So me, my investor, the city inspector, an architect, we tour the building, and I fell in love with it. And if you look at the before pictures, it was something. But I'm telling you, like, God was giving – what it looks like today is exactly what I pictured it to be.
Wow.
From day one when I walked through it. I knew that that's exactly what it could be. And so that's been really crazy.
It's incredible.
So – anyway, they.
That's cool. What is your favorite? Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
No, no. Your architect? What, finish.
My architect said the building was in great shape. I mean, don't get me wrong. There was a lot
of work.
The electrical wasn't good. The plumbing wasn't good. But the bones, the bricks and the structure was like great. So that was great. And then they said, well, you can absolutely change this to a restaurant. It was a go.
That's awesome.
And so at that point, Patrick and I were like.
I would say, like, when does Patrick know, like, all of finally, like he said, I'm in it if you do this ABC? Like, so.
Yeah, so as I'm doing each step, I'm like reporting back.
Sure, yeah.
And each time he's like laughing to himself, like, oh my gosh, this is actually working out. But he couldn't even deny the fact that like it was just falling into place.
Doors were just opening.
Like just flying open.
Wow.
And so it's been really, you know, I can tell you this, doing this project with your husband can go one way or the other. You know what I mean? It could like make you or break your marriage.
Yeah.
And it has definitely made our marriage better.
That's awesome.
It's been so hard. It's been so, it's been hard. It's been so much work. And there's been so many moments where we've been ready to just
throw in the towel.
We've never been ready to throw in the towel, but we've been ready to be overwhelmed by stress.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And it's just crazy how we literally have had this overwhelming sense of peace.
That's awesome.
Underneath the stress the entire time.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
What has been, and we're going to move on to your story after this, but what has been, would you say, your favorite God moment in stepping out in faith and following a dream and seeing all this being accomplished, you know, because obviously God's been in the details, but what would you say, if you can answer that question, what has been your favorite God moment in this process?
You know, it's been interesting because like I've said, it's been really hard.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny because a lot of people can look at like where we're at now and like the attention it's bringing, the success it's going to have, and they don't understand like the absolute painstaking work that have gone into it. And so what's been really eye-opening for me is how faithful it has felt like God has been to us in the struggle.
Wow.
Like whenever we're struggling and we're stressed, we have this like supernatural peace and this sense of just like we're supposed to be doing this.
It's awesome.
So that's been really nice. And then the second thing I would say is the people that it has brought, like the team, like not only the contractors, but the, you know, the staff that I've hired. Just the people that are in it, like they come from different backgrounds. Most of them are not believers, but they are incredible people. And I've learned so much from them and they've learned so much from me. And it's just been,
that's awesome.
It's felt like every single person was brought, you know, by God
for purpose.
Yes.
And
you
got an incredible contractor.
Yeah.
Sure I do.
Yeah, that's true.
Yep. Brandon Koontz from church. If you haven't.
Killing it.
BK Contracting.
BK right? Contracting and Restoration. He is incredible. He's done most of the work by himself as far as, you know, like the framing and drywall and all that kind of stuff. He's been awesome.
It's awesome. One of the best, pieces of advice that Sean have ever been given in life, was very simple. You know, like when you start asking a lot of questions or wanting good advice, obviously when there's things going on in your life and you're, what do I do this or do I do that or do I head in this direction or that direction, all those kind of things. And we had a friend of ours tell us one time, they said, you know, one of the things that I do is I just pray. And I mean, this is so simple, right? But it's good. You know, like I pray and if it grows, I continue to walk in it.
Right.
And if it goes, I forget it was even there.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like we get so stressed out and get so overwhelmed. And if we would just take a minute or not just a minute, but consistently live in a mindset of prayer and just pray about it and say, all right, listen, I'm going to continue to pray. And if it grows, I'm going to continue to walk down that path. And if it goes, that means the Lord's got something else.
Right.
And it's not a big deal, you know?
Yeah.
And,
but see,
I love
you know,
how you described that.
What's funny about a project like this is that, you know, once we were in, like, I think what was the most overwhelming was like whenever the demolition was done and like the floors were tore out and we're getting ready to do this massive plumbing job, this massive electrical job. And it's like, there's no turning back. You know what I mean?
You're
and
committed.
So it's like terrifying and it's, you don't really know what's coming. You know what I mean? So we really had to walk in faith and remember like, no, we prayed about this and like the doors opened. And so we just have to keep walking.
Got to keep on walking.
Yeah.
That's so good. I mean, it's so applicable in all. I mean, obviously you guys are doing it in business.
Yeah.
But when we carry a lot and even your cups, as I'm looking at it, a lot going on at the moment, you know. But I love in this moment how you describe how great things are going between you and your husband, you know. Not that there's not been like, I'm sure, some stressful moments or some tired nights. But even when God's called us to some pretty big projects, when he's in it, you know, this is going to be part of the fruit.
Yeah, I mean, because it's funny you mentioned that because it's like we haven't gone on a date night in probably like
you've had a lot of date
six
nights,
months, you know what I mean? And so what's funny is like what most people would say is a healthy marriage is not what ours looks like right now. You know what I mean? Like we don't have a lot of free time and we don't have a lot of time to be affectionate and like give each other hugs and, you know, and, you know, sit and talk and, you know, all that stuff. It's just like we've just, but at the same time, it's like.
But you're on mission together.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You're
yes,
on mission together.
Exactly.
And that's different. It's not like you're wandering and you have all the time and there's no purpose. And you're on mission together. And that's the game changer.
Right.
Yeah. That's incredible.
Oh, yeah.
Well, Sarah, we want to get a little bit into your salvation story. And but we love what God's doing and through your business, through you and Patrick.
And so
incredible.
May 3rd.
May 3rd is
opening day.
Opening day, May 3rd.
And the menu, it looks incredible.
Oh,
I was
wait.
Just looking at it. Build your
you
own.
You already have something picked out?
Well, I was just looking at it right here. Build your own charcuterie board.
Whoa. I'm looking at the oatmeal.
We got oatmeal.
I'm all over
it.
Add in
I'm an old stuff man, on the oatmeal.
And actually, the other Sunday, Sarah gave me a lesson on the difference between an acai bowl and a smoothie bowl.
And a strawberry banana bowl.
And a strawberry banana bowl, because I thought they were the same thing. But
they're a little similar, but acai powder is like a superfood that you can put in there.
So anyways, in the deli, there's great
it's
options.
It's going to be awesome.
There's great
May
options.
May 3rd. So yeah, as far as my salvation story, you know, it's been really interesting. Patrick and I have been coming here since I was pregnant with Isaac. So that's going on 9 years.
Wow.
So that's been awesome. We were in the, you know, the older building, but we never were at the
small
first
building.
Small building
wrap, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I actually feel like we started coming right when you
No, it's for
were
us,
like,
we're
when,
like a couple weeks away from, we're like a month away from 9 years.
I mean, like, I think that maybe our second or third Sunday you were being like introduced.
Sure. Yeah.
So no, we kind of have been here
timeline.
At the same time.
Yep.
And so we've got to see some really cool things happen here. But, you know, prior to us coming here, whenever Patrick and I got married,
How long have you been married?
We've been married since 2015.
Okay.
So going on 10 years. But whenever him and I got married, him and I have been married for 10 years. We met in 2011. But prior to that, we had never like met before. And we lived 2 miles apart, went to the same church.
What?
Did you both go to Waterloo High School?
We both went to Waterloo. He is 5 years older, so we missed each other in the school. But I never knew Patrick Kornheim existed until 2011.
Wow.
Even though we lived in the same town.
Went to the same church. Didn't go very often or what?
Not to call him out because I went a lot.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Actually, you know, we were just talking about the Yattos. I was Kendra and Justin's youth leader.
Wow,
that's funny. I didn't
know
so that.
Funny connection. But anyway, our church was that we were both brought up in. It was a great church with great people, you know. Mm-hmm. And that's why I hate to kind of speak negatively, because the people that went there were incredible. I still, you know, have relationships with people that went to that church, and they're all just amazing. But the problem with that church was that it was very it was very shallow, like not shallow, but you know, like the faith part of it was very like surface level. Surface level is the way to say it. And so it was almost more like spiritual, like,
gotcha.
You know, more like God as in like is everywhere based, which he is, but it wasn't like about having a personal relationship with Jesus at all.
It was
like,
just something you did on Sundays.
Yeah. And it was just, and it was like Bible stories, but like not connecting with the Bible stories.
You learn a lot about the Bible, but not how it applied to your life.
100%.
Sure.
So both of us, both him and I went there, went through confirmation there, went through First Communion there, were baptized there.
Yeah.
And so whenever we met and we were dating and I, you know, I was kind of living this life. In college, I would say I was.
So you kind of grew up in this church as a little kid, like your whole life? Okay.
Yes. Until I graduated high school. Yep.
Did the church things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what was interesting was this church had no like college level program for kids. So once I got out of high school, I wasn't allowed to be a youth leader yet because I was too young.
Mm-hmm.
But I wasn't, there was nothing for me. Like there was no group or community for me. It was like the next level up was like quilting with like the retirees.
I was going to say knitting, but
okay. Same you know, thing, but, yeah. And no, there's nothing bad about
no,
that, but it's
not
like,
at all.
I was hungry to be in a Christian community and that church just didn't do it for me. And honestly, I hadn't really been stewarded into like going to college and finding a church, if that makes sense. And that's really kind of on me too.
Did you go off to college or did you stay in the area?
I lived in Edwardsville. I went to SIUE.
Yep.
And I lived in an apartment up there and I tried, since I didn't live on campus, I didn't really make connections like most people would at college. Like I just kind of came home every weekend. I have no friends from college really.
Gotcha.
But I tried joining the Christian group, you know, at SIUE and I went to a couple things, but I never really got plugged in anywhere up there. And so I was living this kind of double life of like partying my butt off.
Mm-hmm.
And I still, I was listening to Kelly Moyers. Like I was kind of similar. Like I still went to church every Sunday. I was still very deeply connected to God. I was doing devotionals.
You knew there was God. You loved God.
I was reading a devotional every night. I was journaling. I actually was like very, very close with God. But honestly, with my upbringing, I had never really been like taught the fear of God, like, you know, like that your actions have consequences and that's why, you know, that kind of thing. So I was just like, kind of doing what I wanted. And, but
so you were, it's not, you were not living a life thinking that you were sinning or disappointing God or separating yourself from God.
Oh no, I definitely knew what I was doing wasn't good.
Gotcha.
I was definitely feeling a little guilty about it, but I also didn't have like anybody telling me like,
any different,
this is not okay.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Cause when you would go to church, it was more so I guess I might even try to ask a question, but continue on.
It wasn't a community. Like nobody at my church cared what I was doing.
Gotcha.
You know what I'm saying?
Accountability.
Yeah. Yeah. Like really just no like deep sense of community. It was just very surface level. It was like, oh, there's Sarah, you know, and like I said, they were all very kind, but they didn't know.
Well, everybody's just doing the best with what they know and what they have. Right. Like everybody. Yeah, exactly.
So whenever I was a senior in college, I kind of got to a dark place because I was drinking a lot, like a lot. Mm-hmm. And I was taking medicine that I wasn't supposed to be drinking with. So I was like blacking out a lot. And so I actually, I had some pretty traumatic things happen in those moments. And so I was just not in a good place. Mm-hmm. And so I kind of surrendered to God and was like, I want more than what I'm doing.
So back up. Like you're living, you're kind of at the end of your rope. You know what I mean? Like trying to, you know, like get rid of all your thoughts, emotions, or like you're just not happy with life. So you're drinking more or like that's just what everybody else is doing. And then what was it that like, what was the switch that was like, I want more of God? Like what happened there? Like, or was it like, this isn't working. I'm not liking this. It's leaving me empty, you know? And then there was a change. Like what was that switch that you just,
I think the drinking was more to be social.
Sure.
And I, you know, that's what my friends did. I was wanting the wrong attention from guys and I was dating guys that were obviously not Christian or they were drinking. And so I think the drinking
left you empty.
Yeah. And so And then, yeah, like since I wasn't being treated the way I wanted to be treated, and I wasn't, I knew in the back of my head that I wasn't doing what God wanted me to do.
You're doing devotionals, you're reading the Bible. Exactly. Like you're, yeah, can't live both lives.
And honestly, whenever I was drinking, I really was trying to be responsible, but it just like I would slip out of it. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like once you're drunk, like you're not sober anymore, you know? So anyway, there was this one morning where I had gone out with, some friends from my job up there. I was a waitress up there. And I woke up and I did not remember a single thing that had happened the night before. Like nothing. I'm in my work clothes. I don't remember a single thing. And it was terrifying.
Sure.
And I find out that I had, you know, been at this bar. And after the bar, I had driven to Walmart.
Wow.
And I was telling everybody I needed shampoo and conditioner. You know, whatever. But anyway, I drive to Walmart, buy shampoo and conditioner, come home, go to bed. Nothing really bad happened, but it was terrifying. I was horrified.
Mm-hmm. Woke you up.
And so I drove to Miles Cemetery. Have you guys ever been there?
Yeah. Balmire. On
have
top
you?
Of you've been there, Sean.
I don't think.
You should.
You've probably seen it when you're on your bike.
Oh, yeah.
Top of the hill on the way to Balmire.
It's like the big like mausoleum up there.
Oh, yeah. Yes, I have. Yep.
I drove there because it was like the highest point where I felt like I could just like clear my head.
Wow.
And I'm hungover.
Wow.
Okay. Like sweating out. And I'm like, all right, God, like I'm surrendering to you. Take my desire to drink away. Like take this away from me. Make it so that I stop. Make me stop doing this. Because I kept telling myself I was going to stop and then I would just do it again. Mm-hmm. And you know what I mean? And the next time that I went to drink, I got like violently ill. Like, so like my hangover the next day was like, I was like violently ill to the point where it was like, okay.
I never want to do this again.
And ever since then, I have had that.
Wow.
So I truly believe it's like God-given because I can tell you if I didn't feel that sick after I drank, I'd probably drink a lot more even now. Not now, but at that point in my life. So.
It would have been harder to stop.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I really started to clean things up and I decided I wanted to go on a mission trip. Well, my church didn't do that. And I didn't have any groups I was connected to that did that. So I went online and I searched mission trips for one person.
Oh, my goodness.
Because I'm like, I want to go. I'm like, I feel like I'm going. So I find this company that it was called the Dream Center or something like that. And it was you could either go to Guatemala or Belize and you could stay for 3 weeks. And they paired you with whatever church was coming through at that time. So you could go by yourself.
So basically, they just added you to their group.
Yeah, they added you to whatever group was there. So I did it. Signed up to go to Belize.
Holy smokes.
And so my senior year of college, I went to Belize, and I went by myself. And
when did you tell your parents? Like, after you were gone?
No, I told
them. No, they were like, okay,
cool. My dad paid for it.
All right. They're like, get her out of here. She needs to change some things up.
Yeah. So what's funny is when I got—
You're good. Keep
rolling. When I got to Belize, I got to the customs and they said, who are you with? And I'm like, I'm not with anybody. They're like, okay, what's the address of the place you're going? I'm like,
I don't know.
I actually don't know.
Oh my goodness.
And they're like, who's picking you up? And I'm like, I actually like, I don't know the name of the person. Like, I know what they're going to look like. I know that they're going to have a sign that says my name on
it. Sarah Kornheim on it.
But I don't like know their names. And they're like looking at each other. They're like, she's going to die.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And so I got my bags, went out. Sure enough, my name was there and it was all good.
You're good.
But that was a really, really amazing time. I was paired with
church. For 3 weeks.
3 weeks.
Wow.
Yep. And I was paired with a church called Bull Street Baptist Church from Savannah, Georgia. And they were amazing. And they welcomed me. And we did vacation Bible schools. Like we would go into the rough neighborhoods and we would put on a vacation Bible school. We washed feet and gave shoes out. We just did like miscellaneous things. Yep. Went to the orphanages and played with the kids. And it was really amazing. And, you know, one of the coolest things about it was like all the churches we went to had no electricity, no plumbing. And so it was just like they didn't have any instruments, obviously. Yeah. So like they were all singing a cappella hymns and stuff like that. So whenever we would come in with a guitar, like an acoustic guitar and do their worship sets. They all loved it. And
that's cool.
So that was actually where I did give my life to Jesus at that point when I was 22.
Yeah. What do you mean by that? Like for the first time, like you realized like,
yes,
what I've been in church, but I've not been living for Christ.
Correct. And the guy like did an altar call. And, you know, that was the first time I had ever done something like that.
Wow.
And so
you can remember that like it was yesterday.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
Pivotal moment in your life.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
Yeah. So that was 22. I hadn't met Patrick yet. Came home and I was like, I'm moving to Florida. Well, within that month I met Patrick and I knew I knew I was going to live here forever because.
That's incredible.
Yeah. So,
so would you say ever since that experience that you had in Belize, like were you, and did you go to Belize with the idea like I need to change my life?
Yes.
Like this is like a detox for me, so to speak, all things, you know, that I've been doing in the past and I need something different.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was in that, it was at that trip where you felt like you met God for the first time.
I wouldn't say that's when I met God for the first time.
Got ya.
Because like I was very close with God even when I was partying my butt off.
Did you feel like in that moment it was kind of like him saying to you like, hey, Sarah, I want you to stop doing the things you're doing and I want you to live for me. Like do you remember what made that moment different than any other moment that's allowed you or helped you continue on? Or were you just kind of at your end of your rope and you're like, I've been living my life the way I want to live it. And I now realize for the first time, I don't want to do that. I want to live for Christ.
I think maturity was part of it.
Sure.
And then I think another part was that I saw how beautiful life can be whenever you're like living in God's will.
Yeah. Wow. That's awesome.
You know? And so that was just like so freeing and so I was so peaceful.
Yeah.
And so.
Was it hard for you when you came back, not reconnecting with old habits, old people, situations?
And I'm not going to say that I haven't fallen back into that a little bit at different times.
Yeah.
But. Yes, but I will tell you, like, I've never done what I used to do in 13 years. You know what I mean?
That was a 360 moment for you.
Yeah. Like, yeah. I'll tell you this, though. So I met Patrick that year.
Yeah.
As we were dating, I realized he wasn't a Christian. And don't get me wrong, you know, everybody that knows Patrick knows he's a good guy, right?
Great guy, yeah.
And so that was so hard for me because, like, there was part of me that was like, man, I don't know if I should be dating a guy that's not a Christian. But there was part of me that was like, the way he lives his life is in a way that like it would be so easy for him to live. He doesn't have to change anything. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like
he's a great guy.
He's a good guy. Like
before Christ,
great
after Christ.
Heart.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, so I stuck around and, actually like until we got married and I got pregnant, like we weren't really church going. I lived with Patrick for 2 years before we got married.
Wow.
So like we didn't do things the right way.
Sure.
I'll be honest.
Yeah.
And I felt guilty about that the whole time, but it also was kind of like a situational thing where, you know, my parents didn't care if I lived with my boyfriend and I was kind of in a situation where like, I just needed a place to live.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of how that all worked out. But, whenever we got married and I got, pregnant with Isaac, I was like, that's like, I was like, we have to get into a church. And, and I spiraled. I mean, like I was deeply, deeply, deeply depressed whenever I was pregnant with Isaac because I was so disappointed that I had let myself get married, have a kid, and I wasn't developing my relationship with Jesus further.
Wow.
And Patrick saw that. And so after, so we started looking for churches and stuff. And we went to every church in Waterloo. We went to a couple churches here and I was basically just waiting for it to click for him somewhere because I knew I could kind of do what I needed to do
wherever.
If he was comfortable somewhere. And it wasn't until we got to LCC and we sat down and Jamie preached a, you know, a
killer.
You're like, this was awesome, you know? And he looked at me, he's like, I think we could come back here. And I was like, yes,
because awesome.
It was awesome. You know, I loved the worship, loved the message. So it's interesting because once I had Isaac, I got horrible postpartum depression, was hospitalized for it. And Jody Miller.
Pastor Jody, yeah.
Saved me.
Wow.
Because she, through Jesus,
right,
you know.
Absolutely.
And she saw that I was struggling and she started meeting with me weekly. And I had never had that. You know what I mean? Like somebody that was like, I want
discipling
to.
Discipling you.
I want, yes. Like I want to help you grow your relationship with Jesus. And you shouldn't be feeling depressed and anxious because.
Yeah, you have Jesus.
Yeah. And so Patrick saw that, you know, he saw like me and a hopeless state.
Yeah.
And he saw me being discipled and he was like, wow, like, I don't think you would have made it without this relationship, you know? And so that really started to help him want to do more. And then he kind of realized, oh, like Christian men aren't just like weird. Like, you know what I mean? Like, they're like down to earth. They're just down to earth, normal guys too, you know? So he started developing friendships and Casey and Hayden came. Yeah. And so, you know, it all just kind of panned out great. It's been great. But I'll tell you a struggle I've had all through my Christian life is being disciplined.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm noticing that now because now I don't go out and get wasted. You know, I don't cheat on my husband. Those big ticket sin items, you know what I mean? Like those are easy for me not to break.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But now I'm feeling God, because I feel like whenever I was in that party stage in college, God was being very patient with me, obviously.
Absolutely.
But I think he knew what was going on in my family life, what was going on, you know, personally. And so even though I was not really living for him, he was so like loving and patient with me.
Yep.
But now I feel like he's like, all right, time to buckle down.
Yep.
Like, I need you to like be disciplined in like smaller areas of your
spiritual maturity right
like,
there.
I need you to like go to bed early and like, I need you to eat healthy and like that kind of stuff.
Wow.
So it's been interesting.
That's incredible. What an incredible story, Sarah. That's very cool. That's very cool.
So last question that we ask everybody is if you could give one message to the listeners, to your LCC family, leave them with one thing, what would it be?
One thing about what?
Doesn't matter.
Anything.
Open-ended. If you could say one thing to your LCC family, what would be that one thing you'd say to them?
That we have a great church and like you know, if you're new to LCC and, you know, I'd say try to get plugged in. And something that I've learned the hard way is that it's up to us, like, as individuals to, like, get plugged in, right? Mm-hmm. So, like, you know, you can kind of feel like you're kind of out, you know, in the...
That's good.
Not in the inner circle type of thing, but it's like... But this church is going to keep functioning whether we show up or not.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I would just say try to get connected. Even if it's not in a group, try to just find somebody to help disciple you.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Because having Christian friends that are honest with me has been really important in my discipline, you know, and making sure that I don't slide back into stuff.
So good. Would you mind closing us out in prayer, Sarah?
Sure.
Let's do it.
Dear God, thank you so much for giving me the chance to tell my story. I'm so grateful for Duncan and Sean and their willingness to do this, you know, take the time to do this. God, I just pray that you help my story to reach people in a way that you want it to. And I just pray that you cover all of the people that come to Salt and Honey on May 3rd. It's been such a project that I know. I just pray that Salt and Honey is a place that just glorifies Jesus. And I hope it does that through community and through feeling welcome. And our whole goal is to glorify you in all the things that we do. So we're just so thankful for where you've brought us. And I love you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you so much for listening to the This Is Life podcast. Our prayer is that this podcast was an encouragement and blessing to your life. For more information on Life Community Church, you can visit our website at lifeillinois.org. We'd also love to see you on a Sunday morning at church at either 8:30 or 10:30.